Blog Talk Radio. Welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you. I am your host, your cruise director, and groove mistress, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jennifer, Jen, JP, Perry. You don't have to call me Madame, but I think I'm hearing somebody else on here, and I certainly hope this is not some kind of bleed or feed through. But anyway, glad to have you back. Glad to be back with you. It's been a while. I think the last time we were here, we had Paul Vato was on the show, and he is an absolute doll. Very funny man. Has a podcast of his own that I've been listening to with all his comedian friends. But just to get everybody caught up on things, I just want to thank everyone who's been subscribing, following, sharing, and leaving reviews. I really appreciate every bit of it so much. I'm so grateful to everybody that listens and lets me know what you like and what you want to hear. Just to catch up on some recent guests, Franny Goldie, you know, the songwriter, Night Shift, Dreaming for Selena, Night Shift for the Commodores, all that. You know, she has the magic pants she made that Adam Glassman, Oprah Magazine, always takes, always features, takes on The View, takes everywhere. She's got some extra sales on her website. And if you go to Franny Goldie, FranneGoldie.com, see what kind of sales and new things she has. And also remember to put in MPS, the initials for Perry Salon, before you check out, and you'll get a sweet little discount there. Also, Dave Koz, who was on here last year, that man never stops touring, and he's been showing some videos recently on his social media, and he's going to be having his Christmas tour, and hopefully he'll get back in here before that. So definitely check out Dave Koz stuff, too. If he's in your town, oh, my gosh. And he's the nicest man. I don't know if he's super talented. He's just the nicest man in the world. Also coming up soon will be Beth Lapidus, creator of Uncabaret. She's a writer for television. She's an actor. She's a writing coach or coach for comedians. She created the Uncabaret live shows in Los Angeles. And they're also on Zoom. Well, she put them on Zoom during the pandemic lockdown phase. She's written for things like Will and Grace and a lot of other shows that she knows. But Beth will be here in about 2 weeks. She'll be here next Thursday, Beth Lapidus. And also, Mitzi Zurito has a new book of crime stories coming out. And so Mitzi will be here on the 21st. And we look forward to that. Now, tonight's guest was introduced to me. You know, I just have the coolest friends, and they all have cool friends. And I'm lucky enough that they introduced me to them. And tonight's guest is this is going to be fantastic. She's an actor, puppeteer, improv with groups, famous groups like the Groundlings, Theater Sports, Improvatorium. She's an ongoing or performing cast member with Brian Henson's Puppet Ups, an improvised adult comedy puppet show. So many more things she's done with, like Barbarian and the Troll. She's a member of the Glorious Ladies of Puppetry. If I go on and name all her credits, like Last Champion, Seinfeld, Crash and Bernstein, I won't have time to talk to her. So let's bring here, for her first time, Jeannie Vottle, the fabulous, uber-talented Peggy Etra. Peggy, welcome.
Well, thank you so much. It is just a joy to be here. I'm just really, really happy. So thank you.
Oh, delighted. Didn't we have time for us? Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Perfect.
Okay, can you hear me?
Oh, definitely. And
okay,
I'm guessing
good.
Because of all the different voices you do for so many characters, that's probably the reason why you understand my Southern accent, too.
Your Southern accent is just charming. I love it.
You didn't ask for subtitles or anything, so I figured we're good.
We're very good.
All right. Well, you sound like one of the busiest women in Los Angeles, or anywhere. I've been listening to so many interviews with you and watching things that you've been in, and I'm going to start with just, you know, how you began in the entertainment world, and then I've got a few more specific things to ask you. So if you just give us a bit about how you came to be in entertainment.
Okay, well, I was one of those kids that never grew up because I was, as a kid, it was like, I want to be an actor. And that pretty much stuck. So I went to college and studied theater and then went to grad school in theater. That was in San Francisco. I was at ACT. And I'm from California originally. And then I made my way down to Hollywood because that's where you're supposed to go. So I did. And down here, some of my other friends had come from San Francisco down here and got connected with the Groundlings. They were performing members of the Groundlings. And I was like, what's that? And I went over and saw a show and I went, what I want to do. I found it. I found my calling. So I started taking class there and that pretty much opened up the world to me.
Sounds like as soon as you got there, you found these are my people. This is my homeland.
These are my people. I was very, very, very fortunate. And you know what? That's also very important to have a support group around you who are kind and sweet and funny. So they lifelong. I have lifelong friends here. But that's where I started. I mean, truly, it's like the Groundlings not only gave me an education and a background in improv and a love for improv, I also met my husband at the Groundlings. So that's the gift that keeps on giving. And we've been together about 35 years. So, hey, I did okay.
Not too shabby. I think so, too.
No.
I think that's great. Did you get married in the theater there with all the Groundlings around you, or
we actually did not, but we did have a lot of Groundlings around us, and I've gone to a lot of other Groundling weddings, and it just it's a lovely community, and it was where I met a lot of people, so that made connections for other improv groups and made connections for Puppet Up. What eventually, you know, when I was brought into Puppet Up to train for them was because I had the Groundlings. So it really was, it's the center of the universe where all else sprang forth, or the sun that I orbit from, if I'm going to use that analogy. So,
Did you also do serious theater performances and dramas before that?
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes. I've done the classics of Shakespeare and Chekhov to contemporary plays to new writers. So, and I love theater. I absolutely adore theater. And I do it whenever I can. It feeds my soul, but at times does not feed my pocketbook. So I do the other stuff so that I can do theater.
I think that early on, you were talking about, in an interview I was listening to, you were talking about some ways that you managed to keep yourself sustained so you continue that. And that was it Eastern Onion?
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yes, indeedy do. That was so after I left San Francisco State, I went to the Pacific Conservatory of the Performing Arts in Central California. And when I graduated from that conservatory, I went up to San Francisco to ACT. But there was a lag time between when PCPA ended and ACT was starting. And it was like, ooh, I need to have a job that I enjoy doing, but also something that if I have to leave it, it's not going to be catastrophic. You know, like, oh no, how do I tell these people I'm not going to stay? So I did Eastern Onion, and that, in a weird way, takes away any inhibition you may ever possibly have ever in life, because you're running into restaurants, singing, you know, total strangers singing telegrams, you're running into office buildings, into people's, you know, wet bridal showers, and it's crazy, but I had a great time.
Tell us about a couple of costumes there. I've heard you talk about the Tap Dancing Heart.
I did Tap Dancing Heart. I was also Wonder Woman. And then the Eastern Onion uniform, the standard Eastern Onion is black pants, tuxedo shirt, and a red cutaway tuxedo jacket that says Eastern Onion on the back, and a clapping mechanical monkey. And you announce yourself with a kazoo. So it was like, zoo, zoo, zoo! And then you would run in and do your thing. And and this was the era of Thomas guides, where you had to be able to read a map, because you were going, I went over three counties. My area was three counties, and you had to be able to read a map and to be ready to go at a moment's notice. So it was pretty fun. I enjoyed it a great deal. But when it was time to move on to grad school, I was also ready to do that as well.
I do understand. You know, the thing is, I'm sure some people knew you were coming, some people didn't, and it was a total surprise, and yet you still kind of keep working the gig.
Yep. Oh, truly, because the people that had, generally, like if it was an office thing, it's because the office staff had, you know, brought it together, had made it happen, like they were going to sing The Boss a happy birthday song or a happy retirement song. So the staff knew that I was coming, but the person I was singing to did not know I was coming. And, you know, so the staff was so tickled when they saw you. And then, you know, they'd all get, you know, gather around to see the surprise on the recipient's face. And back in the day, Jim Plunkett was the quarterback for the Oakland Raiders, a Bay Area football team. And I was hired to sing a birthday song to him. But he was at this really elegant restaurant. He was being taken out to this very, very fine dining, shishi, elegant restaurant. And you know, I come busting in, and the whole restaurant just goes dead silence and just watch me sing to him. And you know, I'm doing my job, and he was a really, really good sport. But it was sort of like, I don't know if this is the venue that this is going to go over real well in. Okay, people. Because I was like, okay. But you just go, this is my job, so I'm going to do it. And he was very, very sweet. I just remember he was so sweet. So when someone goes, don't you get embarrassed by doing this or doing that? It's like, No, I've done a lot of really weird things that I've used up my embarrassment quota. So now I'm not embarrassed. I just go, this is my job.
I was going to say, yeah, back around the, and I think I got into this just goofing off, but I had a jazz band. I was looking for people to book me. And this was back in the days where you sent in cassettes and stuff like that. And
right.
So
Yeah,
you remember those? You have to have a pencil to rewind them. And I remember this one agent finally called me, and I thought, oh, thank God, I've been trying to get with her. She's pretty, I mean, she performs gigs in Atlanta. And then it turned out she wanted me to read palms at a stockbroker convention. I'm thinking, she didn't even listen.
Oh.
And then before I could say it, she goes, by the way, I know you're a jazz singer. I know you're not a palm reader, but if I get Madame Belle, the big palm reader then, if I get Madame Belle, she'll tell them they're going to die and bring down the party. But I figure you're funny. You'll make her laugh. So be great. And I was booked steadily at that stockbroker convention, Madame Peretsky was, for several years. Yeah.
That's
and then I began, then I got sort of getting booked for impersonations. And I only did this from about the late 90s to about 2005 as Monroe and Madonna.
Wow.
But one time they talked, I did Dolly Parton, but only once because it's rough on the back. But
it is.
But it's weird when people call you. It would usually be corporate stuff, but once in a while somebody would want to hire you for something private, you know. And yeah, you never know how they're going to receive you, if they're going to be embarrassed, or you got to,
right,
you know, work on some stuff, or you know, or
yeah,
sometimes maybe people that weren't used to it, like women, would say, you guess you're going to pull up your skirt around my husband. I said, honey, I've had six kids. You don't want me. They pay me extra not to do that. You know, I don't have any kids. But if it makes people feel better, I'll say stuff like that.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I love it. Oh, that's fantastic.
Elvis Simulators. For Peggy Andrews, thank you. Well, there are a lot of Elvis Simulators, believe me. There's only one Elvis. The rest are all helpers, but they are not created equal to Elvi. And they would come
no.
up with stuff. No, some would be in bad moods, some would be in good moods, and they go, Marilyn, is that your friend Elvis? And I go, oh, Elvis, you know, between me and him, a Flintstone vitamin's not safe around here, and whatever, that's not too funny, you know, and that was it. So I go, I heard that Elvis didn't like you, Planet Hollywood. Well, I don't think that Elvis was happy anyway.
Oh my God.
I'm going to open up the phones in just about a couple of minutes. If you want to talk to Peggy
Etre,
if you want to ask her a question, is that okay with you? All right.
Yes,
and the number is 646-716-9922. Again, 646-716-9922. Toll-free call in the Continental, yes, Blog Talk Radio assures me. Or if you're at a situation, you know, at one of those jobs, Peggy, where you can't make a phone call or you got to be real quiet, then you can always you can always message in a question or comment to me on Facebook, either through Jennifer Maudette Perry or Madame Perry Salon. So anyway, so we're going to get into talking about that, but I do have a caller for you already. And so I'd like to say welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Come on in, introduce yourself, and say hello to Peggy.
Hello, Peggy. This is Diana Belarus. I was winning some
Diana Belarus. She's in your neighborhood.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm just starting to think, going to Open Mix, and what is your advice for me? Because I'm just starting after living here for 5 years. What kind of advice do you have for me?
To sing in public as often as you can, if there are open mic nights and little cabarets around town, if someone you know is having a backyard party and you say, I would love to volunteer my time to sing a couple of songs just to get comfortable in expressing yourself and working off an audience. And then as far as like getting representation or moving your career forward that way, it's not really my field of expertise with the music industry, but I know I would Google if there are agents that you can send submissions to in your area, because it's easy now to be able to submit because of the internet, and you can, you know, send MP3s or MP4s if that's what they're looking for in demos. But you can ask if they're receiving submissions. But that's what I would do.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the advice. I really appreciate it.
Now, pleasure. And good luck.
Thank you. Deanna is also, she's also a podcaster and an author and an activist based in Los Angeles. But Deanna, with the music that you've just made, you created some music videos, haven't you?
I have it on YouTube. You can find out on YouTube my music videos.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I have a lot of podcasts, and I have my music. My new single is coming out. I just do a lot of stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow, awesome.
Share those videos everywhere, too.
Yes, TikTok, Instagram. Yes, share, Facebook, social media.
Yeah, that's true. That's how Justin Bieber got started.
Yeah, there you go.
And a lot of people, so that'd be great. Thank you so much, Deanna. I'm so glad to hear your voice.
I'm so glad to hear it, too. Thank you so much for having me, ladies, and have a wonderful day. Thank you for the advice, Peggy.
You're welcome. Bye. Have a good one. Bye. Bye.
Thank you, Deanna.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, so you've just worked with an Eastern European accent, the Southern accent. I'm telling you, Peggy. You know, you could be an international spy.
I need
to be quiet.
Hey, that would be fun. No one would know that I was doing it, but I would have fun.
Well, exactly. Who would suspect the puppet lady?
No one. Puppets get a pass. It's great. They do. Everybody enjoys, that I come across, enjoys puppets. And everyone would be so tickled you were there that they would just invite you in and tell you all their state secrets. That's what I think. But I wanted to say the show that I had done, The Barbarian and the Troll, the one that you were referencing with the accents, that is going to be coming to Paramount Plus in the spring of 2023.
Oh, nice.
And I know that's a distance away, but I highly recommend. It's such a good show. It's so funny. And the puppetry is beautiful, and the performances are fantastic. And all of their eight of us worked on it. And everyone is just the sweetest, most lovely human being and amazingly talented. So it was a dream job. And I got to play, I think, 12 different characters on the show, all different accents, all different sizes of puppets. It was so fun.
That just sounds like playtime for grown-ups. But I know it's serious work, and I know it really is, but still.
Yes, it is, and yet we worked really, 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 really hard. But it was really satisfying and joyous and just an amazing experience. It's something I'm incredibly proud of. So I want people to see it because it's good.
Oh, it is.
I wouldn't steer you wrong. I wouldn't make you watch something that wasn't wonderful.
Well, I watched it on YouTube.
Oh, good. Yes, you could do that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
go ahead.
Well, when I mentioned your name, some people, they were going like, oh, my God, my son loves that, you know, my daughter loves that. So I thought, okay, I got to start checking this out. So I started looking it up, too, on YouTube and stuff. And, oh, my gosh, right. this is really witty. I mean, it's not just funny. It's not corny.
It's really good. It's good. We think so. I mean, it's one of those things. I'm very, very close. We became the puppeteers became extremely close on that show. We'd all like worked with each other prior, but this was such a concentrated experience, and there were only eight of us that did all the puppetry. So when you see the show back to back, all the way through, you think, oh, there must have been all these, you know, a lot of, but there was only eight. We worked really hard, and we love each other. And we still just look at each other and go, we worked really, really hard, and yet it was like just pure joy. We just had a great time, and I wish all jobs were like that. Yeah, that would be heaven on earth,
wouldn't it? Well, you know.
Yeah.
So you say when you went into the groundlings, you know, you found, oh, this is my tribe. These are my people. But then how did you get, what introduced you? I mean, of course, we all know what puppets are, but what introduced you to that world as a work?
Well, this is where the groundling, the thread happens. My husband was the music director at the groundlings for about 31 years. And he was the best at what he did. There was nobody better. And so he knew, you know, for 30 years, all the groundlings, through the groundlings, knew my husband. So one of them, his name is Patrick Bristow, an actor and brilliant improviser, was hired or brought in to the Jim Henson Company to teach puppeteers how to improvise, to up their skill set, if you will. And so that's what he did. He helped create this class with Brian Henson. And then at the end of the class, they thought these puppeteers had worked so hard that they should put on a show. And at that point, Patrick called my husband and said, we're going to do this improv show with puppets, and we would like you to do the music, you know, be our music director for the night, because you're the best. And Willie was like, oh, sure, they're great. So long story short, at that end, it became a thing. People really responded to the show that night and wanted to see it again, and then they did it again, and then they did it again. And my husband came home after the first night and was like, so it's improv, but it's with puppets. It's really wild. And I went, that sounds incredible. And he said, it is. And I said, and I had little children. I had not babies, but I had kids at home. And I said, I'd love to see it, but, you know, it requires getting a sitter and blah, blah. Anyway, the puppets go to Aspen, Colorado for the comedy festival. My husband said, I'm going to Aspen. And I went, no, we're going to Aspen. The whole family's going to go to Aspen, because you're not going to Aspen and not taking us. That's just crazy. So the first time I met Brian Henson and all the puppeteers was in Aspen with my children. My children were with me. And I just remember how lovely the puppeteers were to my children. And we hadn't seen the show yet. I just saw how lovely everyone was. Like, these people are terrific. But Patrick, I knew Patrick from the Groundlings. Patrick was in the class behind me at the Groundlings. So I'm rambling, but the truth is we all go see the show, loved it, came back to the condos where everyone was staying, and just, you know, hung out and had a great time. At the end of the weekend, we all got snowed in at the Denver airport. Got out of Aspen, got in Denver. Snowing, planes aren't leaving. And Patrick said, I need to talk to you. And I was like, okay, what's up? And he's like, Brian would like to offer you puppet classes. And I went, yes, I'm not even going to think about it. Yes, thank you. Yes, I'm going to do that. So what at that point, what happened in the world of Puppet Up is puppeteers had learned improv. They made a choice at that point to bring some improvisers in and teach some puppeteering and make it like an amalgam art form, if you will, using the strengths of each side. And so I got in on the ground floor of that. And if I hadn't been to the Groundlings, I wouldn't have had those connections. I wouldn't have had the training, number one, but I wouldn't have had those connections. So I started training right away, and I trained for about 3 years at that point. That was the deal. Trained for 3 years and then rotated into the company and have been working with them ever since. As a matter of fact, they just announced today there are, for the next Puppet Up, are August, I think it's the 12th, 13th, and 14th of this year. Let me double check that. At Jim Henson Studios, which is the old Charlie Chaplin studio. Yeah, 12th, 13th, and 14th. I don't know which shows I'll be in or not, but so I've had it. I've been a professional improviser, puppeteer, for about 14 years.
Mm.
So that's awesome.
Amazing. Awesome. You know, and so that brings me back to something else I heard you say with the talk about, you know, you knew you wanted to act, you knew you wanted to study theater and acting and perform. And then you learned about Groundlings and comedy and improv and being a part of that. And then the puppets. In an interview, when you were talking about this, one that I listened to, and I really, really love this because I've always hated this question. Hate's a strong word. Always disliked when people say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, because I'm going, you don't really want to know. You know, I see me laying on the beach somewhere and, some handsome star from a Mexican telenovela is making me cocktails while another one is polishing my toenails. You know, that's where I see myself, not around you folks. But you had the best, if you remember, you had the best answer to that question.
Oh, refresh my memory. Where do I want to be?
You said that
I want to be working and happy.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good. Yeah, you warmed up with that. You led with that. But you said it's kind of a slippery slope because if somebody had asked you, you would.
Yeah, I know. Yes, that if someone had asked me 16 years ago where I saw myself in 16 years, I wouldn't have known. I would say I don't know. I want to be working and happy because puppet improv didn't exist 16 years ago.
Exactly.
It didn't exist until 15 years ago. So there could be something else that I'm not aware of yet that takes me in a direction. So in 5 years, I could be doing something that I'm not even aware of in the world yet, or it might not even exist yet. Mm-hmm. But I just I'm open to it, really open to it, and I think that's a lesson in life is to say, I knew I wanted to be in entertainment, but things are changing all the time. The boundaries are shifting. The landscape with social media is shifting. You know, TikTok, if you would ask someone, 8 years ago, do you want to be a TikTok star? Be like, I don't even, what are you talking about? And now, it's like, oh, yes. So there could be something coming with a name that, you know, who thought the name Twitter? And now Twitter is part of the lexicon and tweets. You go. If someone had said to me, again, 20 years ago, did you read that tweet? You'd think, what's wrong with you? What does that mean? And now it's we live and die by it. So now I think, what's coming next? What's going to intrigue me next?
Exactly. Because I think, you would have never, there wasn't, you know, puppet improv then, and there wasn't certainly the adult puppet improv.
No.
So it would not surprise me at all if somebody said, if I had this dream where I think, okay, in 5 years maybe, Peggy Etra is performing as a hologram to people who are on the International Space Station, because that's
exactly
the new thing.
Oh, yes. Right. Oh, have you seen her hologram? It's fantastic. You know, where everyone's going, oh, did you catch this hologram? No, but I saw so-and-so's hologram and I loved it. You know, it's like we could be there. And
yeah.
I would love to franchise my hologram and be, you know, just be like, oh my gosh, she's performing with all these other holograms at the Hologram Fest at HologramCon.
the virtual or the Oculus Rift or whatever. I could say, oh well, yeah, I know Peggy Etra. She's way ahead. She was the first one to be in that.
Yes. Oh, back in the day when we were discussing her being a hologram, and now look, she's in the Hologram Hall of Fame. That's amazing.
Yeah, they've got the clips on the Mars rover. Everybody loves it. So
yeah. Oh my God! Can you imagine down the line, truly, like as more stuff goes to Mars, if there were, you know, people going, oh, send my hologram up there, ooh, with this like new space pictures they're taking from that satellite, it's like, ooh, put my hologram in those images.
Oh yeah. James Webb.
It'd be wild.
When people send out their concert tour schedule, you know, it'd be Peggy Etra, from the James Webb telescope. Reflecting back at you.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm open. Here's what sparks me. I like being around funny, kind, talented, supportive, loving people. And that sometimes can be harder than it should be, because we are in a business. This is the business. It's not playtime. It's a business. But I prefer, if I'm going to do business, I want to be with people who make me laugh and who inspire me to do better and are helpful in that. So again, in all seriousness, if someone called up and went, hey, we're starting this grassroots hologram company, sure, I'll come help. That'd be fun. That'd be crazy. Let's try it. Because, you know, it keeps you young. It keeps you happy.
I agree. It does keep you young. It really does. Yeah. All right. We're going to talk more about your career in just a few minutes. I got to take about 2 minutes off to play some things for some nice folks. And I'll be right back with Peggy Etra. And
I'll be here.
Yay. A call. And
yay.
Keep on laughing. What a day. I just need some me time for once. Yes, perfect. I got the new bath bombs today. Peach and clove, here we come. Mim and the Anvil makes the best smelling herbal blends of bath bombs. You can order loose or ground herb, added buttermilk, extra large, even ones with hidden gifts inside. There are over 25 essential oil varieties. After today, my body definitely needs some spiritual nourishment and lots of fizz. Her metaphysical blends are soothing in more ways than one. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. Make time for yourself. There are over 100 herbal blends of bath bombs. Keep a healthy body and mind. Feed your soul. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. If you don't make time for yourself, no one else will.
So, Chuck, talk to us about Fizdale being the Knicks' new coach. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I tell you right now, Ernie, it don't matter who gonna coach this team. They don't got no talent on it, and I don't really feel like talk.
That's kind of harsh.
I don't feel like talk about the Knicks right now.
Want to talk about lunch?
No.
What would you like to talk about, Chuck?
See, Ernie, I've been listening to a podcast called Madame Perry Salon. And I think Jennifer Perry, she's a great host. I mean, she got all these bestseller authors, Rostar, all the comedians.
What about people that don't have rings?
Here we go. Real funny, Chuck. Real funny. But I think she's great, and I think people would love her show. She got a great laugh. She make the laugh come out of nowhere like an eagle come in there and just steal the whole show. It's a beautiful thing. It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. And here's the sound.
It's not terrible.
All right, that's the sound of the hologram of Peggy Etra coming into your own International Space Ooh. Station. Give it up.
Cutting edge.
So, yeah. Now, tell me about this. You do a lot of, you've done film and TV, and it seems like I have all these guests that come on, like Beth Lapidus did, you know.
Oh, she's amazing. She's great.
You know,
and the Uncabaret, yeah. I know of her. I know, well, here's the thing. I know a lot of people from her world, or she knows a lot of people from my world. But the Uncabaret is magnificent. So I'm going to hype her show while I'm on this one. You guys, listen to her podcast when she's on and go see Uncabaret. Fabulous.
She is talented. And our mutual friend, Brandy Stillwell, I talked to her. I talked her into going to Uncabaret a couple of weeks ago. And she said it was just fantastic. So, so she's
great.
Done those
and
shows. And let's see, and of course, Brandy Stillwell, everybody knows, also my client, also a fabulous writer, comedian, improver, and just one of the nice people, very clever.
A doll. And she and I are doing an improv show together Monday, July 18th. So we are doing a show at the Glendale Room.
July 18th at the Glendale Room. I'll be, you know, I'm going to be promoting that. Also, you said something about the puppet up August 12th, 13th, 14th. I've got Brandy in the Barnes & Noble Rancho Cucamonga on the 13th from 2 to 4. And
this is making it
so tempting for me to come out there. It's like, a whole lot of stuff in one weekend.
Hey, there's lots of stuff going on. Yeah. I'm waiting to hear which shows I'm in, because we have a pool of cast members, so they'll let us know what dates we actually have. But have you been to LA before? The where we perform Puppet Up is at the Jim Henson Company, which is on La Brea between Sunset and De Long Prix, and it was originally Charlie Chaplin's studio, and it looks like this little English village, and then it became A&M Records, and now it's Jim Henson Company. But on the top of the building is Kermit, but he looks like he's doing Charlie Chaplin's classic pose. And that's the studio, and then we perform our show on the actual Charlie Chaplin soundstage, the original soundstage. His original, so it's hallowed ground. Oh. It's hallowed Hollywood ground. It is. Shot his movies there, so it's a really special. I love going there. I love this little studio. It's a landmark, so it'll never be torn down. And I love that we are in the space where he created. There's something very magical about being there. So it's a beautiful thing. So come out.
It's been a long time since I've been there. I need to. So when you were on Seinfeld, I had another guest that was on there, Michael DeBar. You may know him. He's an actor, lives out there, has a radio show on Little Stevens Underground. He was in the movie, he started his career in To Sir With Love.
Ooh. And, love that movie.
Yeah, and as a kid with Tony Curtis, and then and there's a documentary out about him that came out last year. That's when he was on here, called Who Do You Want Me to Be, about his career, but also because he co-wrote that song, Who Do You Want Me to Be, And he was on Seinfeld. He played a snooty Major D.
I actually got my SAG card on Seinfeld. It was Groundlings connection. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I was in the Groundlings. And that was back in the day where casting directors had file cabinets. Nothing was online. So they had folders, right? So your headshots would go in folders. And there was a folder, and this casting director, his name is Mark Hirschfeld, and he had a folder for Groundlings. And he had seen me at the Groundlings, and he had put my headshot, he thought, in the folder. But instead, he missed the folder, and it languished in the bottom of this file cabinet. So flash forward a couple of years, I was out of the Groundlings. I actually had a 17-month-old baby at home with me, and I had no SAG card, but I also had no agent because it's like I'm pursuing it at the moment. I get a call from the Groundlings saying, Mark Hirschfeld's looking for you, and you need to call him. And I was like, okay. So I did. Mark tells me that they were moving offices, they took the file cabinet apart, and there was my picture, and he remembered me, and he was like, oh, man, I can't believe, I'm so sorry that she's been in the bottom of my file cabinet. And just at that time, they were casting this role on Seinfeld. And he said, and it was a Saturday audition. So he's like, are you able to make a Saturday audition? I was like, happy to. So I went and had a really great audition. And I met Jerry prior to going into the audition because it was Saturday. He was just walking. It was at the CVS Radford lot. He was just walking around. And we had this exchange. It was very funny. And then, so I went in and I auditioned, and no cell phones. This is how long ago it was, kids. No cell phones. So I finished the audition, and I'm driving home, and I didn't want to tell anyone I didn't have my SAG card. I didn't want to tell Mark I didn't have my SAG card because I didn't want to lose the audition. So I get home, and they go, got the job, start Monday. And I said, okay. And I went and I signed the paperwork, and I went, oh, by the way, I don't have my SAG card. So they have to do what they call Taft-Hartley. They have to bring me into the union. So I got my SAG card on Seinfeld, that representation, and because of the Groundlings, because Mark had seen the Groundlings. And it was 3 days, and it was absolute bliss. I was in the episode called The Barber, where Jerry gets a bad haircut, and I played the receptionist at where George Costanza thinks he has a job. He thinks he has a job. And so I played Clarice, the receptionist, and I had, I was in 5 scenes, and I just thought life couldn't get any better than that. It was the most amazing thing. And years later, I ran into him again and remembered the story to him, and he was so gracious and lovely. So, Seinfeld. I love being on it. I wish I became a series regular.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. I think a lot has to be, you really do just have to get out there and be around people.
You have
to.
I honestly kind of approach the world with this attitude of, well, surprise me. And then I look for things that surprise me. And I had a friend, the director, one of the directors of The Barbarian and the Troll, I told him my philosophy. I go, I like to walk on the beach, not during tourists, but the remainder of the year when the tourists go home, I walk the beach for hours, just way to keep my head clear. And I always get to the beach and I go, surprise me. And he goes, well, what happens if you don't see anything that surprises you? And I said, then that would surprise me. I go, I can't lose. I just can't. And he's like, okay. So that's kind of how I, it keeps me interested in the world because I go, well, surprise me. I'm a hologram. Okay.
By the way, I've had some messages come in here. One from Juliana Arai. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. And she's in Buenos Aires and says, I am enjoying this show. I'm having a great time loving Peggy. And we'll be watching more of her work, Troll and Barbarian and the Trolls. Thank you, Juliana.
Nice. Thank you,
love
Juliana.
You.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. She's been Juliana's been a long time listener of the show, but we haven't had her call in or message in lately. So thank you so much, Juliana. Hey, hope you're doing great.
Thank you. Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you, Juliana. I appreciate that.
And Patricia in Missouri says, one of your best, madam, one of your best. Thank you, Patricia.
Patricia, thank you. I'm going to send my hologram to your town.
She's a big sci-fi fan. Bring it on. So, okay.
Oh, we could do thank you holograms.
Thank you holograms.
Thank you for
okay.
holograms. So
you know I'm Brandy's publicist. You know I'm going to be wanting in on this. So,
oh, listen, it's documented. It was born on your show.
Okay.
I didn't just come up with this. We have created this. We should get a patent on it.
You
right now
it.
And then.
Oh, I'm going to do that now.
Yes, do that. Let's get a patent, and then 2 years. We'll get somebody, my son does video games. We could figure out somebody in the tech world, and then in 2 years we'll take it on Shark Tank, and they're going to license it for a licensing fee. And then you can get your telenovela star or stars, plural.
Yeah.
Go sit on a beach. You know what I'm just saying?
Yeah.
We would have that hologram money.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, definitely. We could. Oh, definitely. You know, I was going to say, you've got, you said this is your son that does the?
He does video games.
He designs
video games, my son. Get him to design our hologram business.
Perfect. And, you know, one of my other clients is an aerospace, a satellite communications company, which is also the field that my husband works in, too. So I'm just saying, sister, if we can't wrap it up, nobody can, okay? If we can't wrap this up, we ought to be ashamed to even laugh about it.
Can't bag this. Completely. And it's all dated and time-coded. So if somebody says, you know, 5 years from now, they say, oh, I came up with this idea. I'd be like, no, you did not. No, you did not. No, you did not.
Ixnay on Ouye, you did not.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And also Pete in who in Chicago, he said, it's been a rough month. I really needed this show tonight. Thank you so much.
Oh,
thank you, Pete.
Pete, I feel you. I know it can be. I know what life can be like. I get it. Mm-hmm. So that I'm glad that we were able to make you feel better. I really am. That's important. Yeah.
And I'm glad you let us know. You know, just people that laugh, it doesn't mean that we don't, you know, don't all have some of the rough sides and the rough things. It's just that we're going to plow through and not let it steal our joy.
It's going to try. And the truth is my joy is not up for grabs. My joy is for me to give away. You can't take it from me. I'm going to give it to you. But if you try to steal my joy, it's not going to work.
All right.
And if you think you can steal my joy, I'm just going to make more. So.
Okay. Oh, I've got. I was about to say we got to wrap this up, and I hope you'll come back.
I will.
Another caller for you. Is that okay?
Okay.
Hi.
This is Madam Perry Salon. Hi.
Hi, it's Peter G. from Chicago.
Peter from Chicago. We were just talking about you. That you said,
I
thank
know.
You. Thank you. I adore you. Thank you. Talk to Peggy.
Yeah, hello, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Peter. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if Miss Perry mentioned me. I'm the crazy Polish animator from Chicago. I do cartoons on the internet.
Oh, fun!
Yeah,
I
it's got
that.
Its moment.
And he's doing for a radio station now too in Chicago, so that's nice. Oh yeah. But,
wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, they do this thing called Ask Blanche, which is a parody of advice columns, and basically the guy just riffs for like 2-3 minutes off the top of his head, and I've been doing animations based on that, and it's been going really well.
Oh, that's cool. That is so cool. I love it. I love it. Now, if you watch The Barbarian and the Troll, and you don't have to do it right this second, but there were two creators. One is Drew Massey, a brilliant puppeteer and brilliant man. And the second is Mike Mitchell, who is the director. He's like a huge director of animation over at DreamWorks. So,
okay.
Yeah, I love it. And I'm going to get can you send me your link on Instagram? Because I can, I'd love to see your stuff.
Oh, okay. Here, let me, because I just have to
you
be
get,
in,
what you want to,
if you can find it on
if
mine,
you have
Peter.
Your link. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
You can find it through me. You know, my business card says I'm the connector, so you can find it through me.
Perfect.
That way.
Excellent.
All right.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's quite a time. So yeah, it's interesting because basically I'm taking improv and I'm trying to add form to it instead of the other way around. So it's really it's really a challenge to do.
I didn't know that.
I can understand that.
And I will say something else. He does. I've seen his videos, a series about Herman the Crab, and. Herman Crab is working hard about it's all about the environment and not polluting. Yeah, conservation. And so I know you told me that before I was a fan, Kathy Ireland was a fan. So now we've got to have, you know, Peggy needs to see Herman Crab. So we'll make sure.
Yes, get me everything.
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 All right.
Everything.
Yes, that's awesome. Love it.
Yeah, I've been in the studio working on the next one. And I'm like, oh wait, the show's coming out, so I've been listening to this while working on my stuff. So.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. That's
glad to
wonderful.
Keep you going. All right, Peter.
Yes.
It's about to wind up, and I don't know, Peggy. Would you come back sometime, please?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely, absolutely. This has been just a treat, and I've enjoyed every second of it, and I've enjoyed meeting you virtually. So, yes, I would definitely come back.
Yes,
thank you.
I appreciate it. Actually, I met you in the parking lot of Mel's Diner, if you put it that way.
That's right, you did. You did. Oh, my gosh.
Virtually.
See, this is when holograms. Holograms would come in handy.
Super handy.
Perfect.
Oh, God.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being so generous with your time and your talents and your stories and making us all feel good. I'm going to close out.
Much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. The pleasure's ours. I'm going to close out, folks, which is in my song, probably only song I'll ever write, called Everybody's Got to Swing. Hey, if you like the song, I'll send you the CD. And if you don't, Well, just be nice and keep it to yourself. Anyway, be good to each other. Be good to yourselves. I love you. Good night. Vaccine.